Autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants, pumpkins, when you're grooming, if you know what I'm talking about. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new fourth generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's HAYES. Get to manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES. You'll save 20% off plus free shipping. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson. You're a Coyotes alumni, or... Are you disappointed or what? What's going on here, Johnny?
I am. Are you asking if I'm proudly wearing my alumni jersey around town?
Yes, I'm asking you that.
You know what? I am not disappointed because I'd rather our organization be clear, concise, and take this very painful path of stripping it down than kind of muddle around the middle. Like, Arizona was trying to be good, but they were never really a threat to win, right? Like, they were made a couple playoffs. They were around the playoff line, but they never had a chance to win. And so, you know, I don't want to finish 10th or 7th and lose the first round or miss and then pick 13th overall. If I'm going to go back, if I'm going to miss the playoffs, like, strip it down, build from scratch, get the good players through the draft. They're hoping they get, what, Shane Wright this year, Connor Bedard next year. And then they have so many picks, some of them hit, and you grow together and try it from scratch. So, no, I'm actually, as a proud alum, I'm actually not that offended because okay. It makes more sense to do this. And when you think about it, Hayes, the timeline, which will sync up likely with a new building about 3 years from now, that's when they should start becoming good again, or like start climbing to be good again. And so maybe that's the timeline they're shooting for. And it makes more sense than trying to kind of stick in the middle.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think Bill Armstrong at least has a clear, you know, plan, whether he can execute it or not, because we've heard, you know, the rebuilds, especially Arizona. That's the thing that I think people have a tough time believing, is because we've kind of heard it out of there. We've heard, you know, several years, not just, you know, the last little bit with Bill Armstrong taking over. You've always heard, well, Arizona's looking to turn, and they've got some good young players there. It's just not enough. But
no,
I like that they're going scorched earth, and
yeah,
I like
them.
They're terrible, though.
They're terrible.
They're really bad. I mean, I did their game against Buffalo, and they got a point in overtime because your Kometo Brno alum, which is a team in the Czech Republic, Karel Vemelka, was in net, and he played really well. I'd never heard of him before the game, but that's, I call him the game, so that's why I know who he is. But you know, they just don't have. I mean, you could say Clayton Keller is a talented player. Certainly Jeff Chick or Chikrin's a good player, but like beyond that, they don't have a lot of foundational pieces going forward. So that's what they're trying to accumulate, and it's going to take a little pain. Now, the only thing I'll say, though, and I think every person who GMs a team would tell you this, the stripping it down part, that's the easy part. Like, I can trade away my good players and get picks. It's the building back up that gets way harder. So they've kind of started the easy part. Now can they execute the hard part?
Well, let's move from one alumni to the next, and we'll get to your original alumni, the Leafs, here momentarily, who played tonight.
Okay.
But you know where we're going. We're shuffling down the 401. We're going eastbound. We're going to get into Quebec because that Habs team is horrendous right now. Like, they lose 4-1 last night. They were being outshot. They had 5 shots in the first period last night, and the crowd was getting owly, and they're 0-5. They have no points through 5 games. Bergevin did his, you know, stop and chat with the media yesterday, and it's ugly, man. It is really ugly. They're going to be talking about Shane Wright in the next couple of weeks. And honestly, whatever happens with Price, we'll see. Weber's not coming back. Dano's moved down the road. He's in L.A. They're not going to be a bottom three team in the league, but could they be a bottom 6 or 7? Like, is that what we're talking about here, that they could be thinking tank themselves by the trade deadline?
Well, I don't know if they'll think tank, because you look at their contractual obligations. They don't have a ton of pending UFAs. They have mostly term on their guys, so tanking becomes harder if you don't have guys expiring. But yes, absolutely, they could be bottom 6 or 7, because, you know, generally there's 1 or 2 outliers that are quite poor. But like the bottom 6, you know, the 6th worst team is only 10 points out of the playoffs. Like, they're not that far down, and that's probably where Montreal ends up. But, like, it's amazing to say this 5 games into the year, but they are what? 3 more losses in a row from almost having to write the year off. Because you start running the numbers, the math it would take to get to 95, 96 points is not going to happen. They, you know, you got to run off 10 in a row just to barely get to 500. And when the team already has holes in it. Now, they're not as bad. Nobody's as bad as they're looking right now. Like, their shooting is poor, power play's not worked, you know, a whole bunch of stuff is there. But I think where they've lost themselves is not in scoring goals, it's their ability to check. And they used to check well, and that queued up transition opportunities and time in the offensive zone. Now they're not getting those rush chances, and they don't play in the offensive zone. They play in their own zone the whole time. That bad things are going to happen. Factor in the absences of the players that everyone knows are gone, including Joel Edmondson, who we wish him well. He's dealing with an ill parent, you know, a tough situation. So, they are not long to, they might not say it publicly, but acknowledging that this year is a write-off. Like, they're not going to be able to compete for the playoffs, let alone the cup.
Johnny, if you had one thing or maybe two things, you just talked about checking. Is there anything that you could point to that this team could at least turn it around, but at least, you know, pick up off the ground? Whether it's, I saw, you know, Mike Kelly tweet about Josh Anderson's expected goals and, you know, that type of stuff. Is there anything you could point to and go,
okay,
I need this. Go ahead.
My glass half full noodles would be this, okay? Their current shooting percentage is 2. The league's worst last year was 8. So that's going to quadruple, right? Their power play's at 4. The league's worst last year was at 9. That's going to at least double. I did their expected goal share. Right now, their 5-on-5 goal share is 17%. It's laughably bad. Their expected goal share is 45. Not good, but still almost three times better than it is now. So, like, they're not getting the results they deserve, even currently. But what they need is they need to figure out who and how they're playing defense. Like, right, they went out and got David Savard, who's a right-shot, big, heavy defenseman. He needs help with someone moving the puck out of his own end. You know, he's strong and stout and, you know, he's won a cup and all the rest of it. But when you ask him to play top 4 and be a puck mover, he's not bad. And then Sherratt, you know, without Weber to partner with, not quite the same thing, right? Like,
sure.
I think they got to commit to get better puck movers. Somehow work on a system that allows them to move the puck more cohesively up the ice. Because it is chop suey right now and broken plays and bad passes and bad routes. And that goes on the forwards, not just the defensemen. That's where I start. I don't worry about scoring goals. Like, they have talented shooters. Like, they'll get chances once they get the puck back. They just got to focus on trying to get the puck back.
With Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. All right, the alumni shuffle brings us back to your hometown in Toronto. And obviously starting your career here. You've got the alumni jacket. You've been in there. And the Leafs are dealing with a back-to-back this weekend. Hutchinson in net. And that'll be tonight, and then Jack Campbell going in Pittsburgh tomorrow night. We talked about Nick Ritchie and his role this weekend. My eyes are sharply on him because I think Matthews and Marner are going to be cooking. I think they're going to break out, Marner in particular, and Matthews will score. Ritchie, this feels like a perfect opportunity for him to just keep up, you know, tap in a couple of secondary assists. So after the weekend, if they each had 4 or 5 points and he's got 2 or 3, he could say I was along for the ride. What do you think is running through his mind, considering he has not had a great start, yet he's playing with maybe the 2 best line mates he's had at any point in his career?
Just that. Exactly what you're saying, Hayes. Like, he's thinking, okay, we better come up with something. And in some ways, it's out of his hands because, like, if Marner and Matthews get going, he's going to have a good weekend. But if for some reason they don't, he's not going to look very good because he's not going to make them go. He's just along for the ride. He's just there to help them facilitate a little bit. But I think he would know if he's being honest with himself. Not only does he have to start picking up some points and becoming more involved, but even more than that, like, Matthews and Marner have to start picking up points. Not Matthews, he was amazing this first game, but they got to start scoring. And if they don't, no matter what he does, he's going to lose the opportunity, which was a huge one to play with those two guys on the Toronto Maple Leafs on the first line and all that that entails. And that's a lot of pressure. I mean, I don't know him at all. You know, some guys would relish that and be like, yes, love the pressure. Some guys would be like, oh my God, I hope this goes well. And I quite frankly probably would have been more the latter. Like, oh, it's nerve-wracking knowing that so much might be riding on it, and you're going to try your hardest, but sometimes trying your hardest in the NHL doesn't necessarily equate to success. So I think any player, and Hayes, you could relate to this more than even Noodles, because as a positional player, when you struggle, I always thought, and I've talked to a lot of guys about this, like, I always would go back, like, what am I good at? Like, what is it that I do better than anything else? And, like, for when I played, it's like, okay, I skated. Like, I could skate well. So when I was struggling, I'm like, okay, I just have to skate hard and fast. And once you start doing that, the other pieces start kind of falling into place. And for him, if it's like, what do you do well? Are you supposed to be a forecheck guy? Okay, then, like, really focus in on how do I get in the forecheck? How do I get a hit? How do I turn a puck over? Once you do that a couple times, then the other stuff, getting in the front of the net, chances, passes, that will all kind of come with it. But pick the thing that you do best. Focus on that. And if you start doing that, all the other things will kind of fall into place.
Well, I think it's interesting how we have witnessed, and I think we maybe always knew it was coming, Matthews and Marner were going to take over as the focal point of this team and the kings of the county, so to speak. Where, meanwhile, John Tavares, making $11 million, captain, the hysteria that came with him signing, and he is goalless through four games, which isn't a massive issue, but you would think that would be more of a topic of discussion, and it would have been a couple of years ago, but because Marner is not crushing it, and because Matthews just got back and we're waiting for him to break out, like, this really is an example of it, where I think Tavares is benefiting from the shadow of Matthews and Marner, because we're not really focused that much on the fact that he has not broken loose, and he hasn't looked great. First couple of games, he didn't look like himself. I thought he got better in night three, better in night four with the rest of them. But John Tavares can bring a lot more to the table, yet the primary focus is on 34 and 16.
And given the fact that JT got to play first-line center first couple of games, like first few games, when Matthews wasn't playing. So you're absolutely right. And we knew that transition would happen. Now, some people might have said, you know, the day Tavares arrived, he was already the second-best centerman on the team. And I think that was the case. But there was a kind of 1A, 1B. Now it's a 1 and a 2. And he's a 2 and a really, really good 2. I think everyone benefits from that. When the team struggles in Toronto, the spotlight will go to the best players, the highest-paid players, and what they're doing. And then you might avoid some of the criticism. Now, when the team does well, let's say you're doing well, you probably won't get quite the same degree of attention as the top players and the high paid players. You know, it kind of works both ways. We're probably not talking about that. And the fact that the team has gotten off to a, 100-point pace through four games, whatever that's worth. But, they're not 0-4. They're 2-1-1, so it's not terrible as far as points on the board. But I will say this, and say what you want about expected goals. It's a weird model that calculates them. But I was reading today about John Tavares, and 2 years ago, per 60 minutes of ice time, Hayes, follow me here, right? Per 60 minutes of ice time, 2 years ago, he averaged 0.84 expected goals per 60. Last year, he was 0.85. This year, through four games, you want to guess what he is?
0.84. Yeah.
Exactly the same. So, small samples, and we're driven by the score sheet as opposed to the process, because that's what happens in when you've only played three, four games. And I'm not saying he didn't play well, because he probably piled up those expected goal totals in the last couple games. But maybe he's not as far off from scoring and if he had one goal and two assists in four games, he's kind of plugging along. He's probably closer to that than we might think. Put all that aside, I think tonight is tailor-made for a big night for Toronto.
Yeah.
Because San Jose, tail end of a road trip, played last night, early start. Toronto sitting there rested, relatively healthy, had a few days of practice. San Jose's not a great defensive team. They got Aiden Hill in net. Maybe he has a good night. Maybe he doesn't. Like, it feels like the opportunity is there. 7 rookies in the lineup for San Jose. Like, if Toronto plays well, there should be plenty of offense to be had for everybody on the Maple Leafs.
That's kind of what I was thinking in watching that game last night. San Jose's a team that, is one of the youngest in the league. I know they've got kind of three guys on the back end that are grizzled vets and really good players. Like that Brent Burns at 36, he's a hell of a player. I'd take him on my team any day. He's heavy and mean and got a shot and chews up a lot of minutes. Carlson kind of looks maybe 80%, 70% of what he used to look like in Ottawa, but he's still a really effective player, good player. But
well,
that being said,
You've seen him.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, like, you know,
Stephanie said to Gord last night in the interview, you're the expert.
But, you know, it's funny. But, you know, Johnny, like, you know, we watched this guy 3 years ago. Was it 3-4 years ago where arguably Carlson was top five player in the world?
Best player in the world. Could
absolutely.
Have been. Yeah.
He could, that playoff run when they went to a conference final, that was one of the best performances we've seen in the last 15 years in the playoffs.
Like,
he individually by him. He could have won the Conn Smythe when they lost in the semis, legitimately.
Yeah.
That's how great he was.
Yeah. He was spectacular.
So I mean, you know, striking distance of that is still greatness. But that being said, they've got a lot of young guys. And I agree, this sets up for a night that if the Leafs actually – here's the one thing. I don't believe this is a trap game, but I think it should needs to be hammer home to them. If you start on time, and that, what I mean is you come out – And you have energy and you've got pace and you're taking it to them, that this could be a game where they, you know, guys find the back of the net and it's a feel good game for everyone type of thing.
They better have the right mentality though, right? With Hutchinson in net. Like that's a message where you're like, yo, we're worried about Pittsburgh tomorrow. We'll keep it for soup tomorrow on the road.
Or if we're worried about point night, which is never a great attitude to have heading into a game. But I'm with you, Noodles. I think that's the message. I think it gets delivered, and I think if they hear it, you know, they're due to break out. They've been kind of goalied a couple games. They played well, and the other team's goalie kind of spilled on his head. Forsberg, Shesterkin, like, you know, I don't know if that happens every time, and I don't know if that happens with Aiden Hill tonight if they play well.
Right.
Well, yeah. They got to go out and do it, though. This team does have a tendency to play down to their competition. You know, that is steeped in their history for sure.
Isn't San Jose undefeated?
Yeah,
they are. They're 3-0. And the other thing is, too, is San Jose's power play. Like, you can't mess around in this league, regardless of who, you know, you may think, okay, this should be a tap and you should be anything. All of a sudden, you get yourself in penalty trouble and a team goes, you know, 3-for-6 or, you know, something crazy. Like, that's how things happen very quickly, that you're chasing it. You've got Hutchinson, who is, you know, to me, I think he's a perfect three, but he can give you NHL minutes, which is great. This is the reason why you pay the money to have him accessible. And, you know, this sets up for them to have a good night, but you can't just think you're going to put your gear on and 2 points are going to be handed to you, because San Jose, you know, you guys know Bobby Bugner. He's a guy with a lot of pride. Do you call him a local area guy? I don't know.
He's a Windsor guy, really. I believe, isn't he?
But,
Bob, that counts.
Ontario guy, you know.
Yeah, that counts. Like,
claim him.
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll take claim.
But you know, there's certain things that I was thinking about last night and watching that team play. Like, you know, they've got some players there that can be dangerous if you sleep on them. And that's vice versa.
And haven't seen them in 2 years either, right?
Agreed.
Like, haven't seen them in a long time. And vice versa. Like, teams are coming up here and they're like, let's see what this Leaf team's all about. We heard all about them running away with the Canadian division.
I would say this, though. Like, as far as taking them lightly, offensive players crave goals and points almost more than anything. And maybe not team success, but, like, you know, like, that will drive them. And they got a whole bunch of offensive guys on Toronto who haven't piled up the points. So I think, you know, trap game, worrying about Pitt, whatever. Like, I think the prospect of getting going statistically on the offensive side of the puck, that should be enough. And I think it will be enough to drive the best players, because, like, it'd be one, you know, if they were all cooking right now, 7 points, 6 points, four goals, whatever, then maybe you could talk about them, well, San Jose's not that good. They don't have any goals, their best players. Like, they need goals, and that will push them to be focused and energized and engaged in this game.
Should be a fun one tonight, tomorrow in Pittsburgh. Enjoy it, buddy. Have a great weekend. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
There he is, Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.